This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Alex Grohman, Senior Manager at Morgan Franklin, and John Dyson, Manager at Deloitte, and they're representing a local group, a local chapter of the Information Systems Security Association, most people call it ISSA, and the Northern Virginia chapter, of course, is NOVA, and so we have ISSA NOVA in the house. We're going to talk about security in the cloud and mobile devices, and we probably have 16 hours of topics here. We're going to compress it into 1 hour if we can. But before we begin, maybe, Alex, you can start off and share with our listeners a little bit about your background, how you wound up getting interested in security in general.
Greetings, John. Yes, actually, this is one of the things that I started off doing while I was in college and obtained my undergraduate degree in management information systems from Florida State, and then progressed with several different organizations working for the state of Florida, IBM, and several other different places. And it's kind of matured to a specialization, which is this information security field from the various, the broader topic of technology.
That's good. And John, your background, please.
Actually, mine is I got a degree in computer science. I've always been interested in security field and the computer field. I've done a lot of work with some of the Intel organizations, and obviously security is important there. And over the years and years, it's grown in importance, and it's just been a lot of fun. I really enjoy doing it.
I always shudder when I say the word intelligence community on the air, and I'm wondering if some guy in the suit's going to be out in the hallway and drag me off or something. But I've had enough of them on the air that, you know, they're just regular people, you know? They may carry guns and have suits and drag me off after this show, but it wouldn't be unusual. You know, there's so many ways to approach this whole topic of security, and you know, it's top of the, you know, every time you turn on the news or you go to Google, you find out topics concerned with security. But what I'd like to do is maybe just focus on a few aspects that will impact my listeners, which are federal IT professionals, and maybe they know more about it than you, John, and you and Alex combined. And maybe there's I didn't realize that. Well, this new twist on the NIST specification is going to impact me and my agency, and that's what we want. You know, if we can walk out of here an hour and in a federal IT professional maybe makes their day easier, or they can go home at 5 o'clock, well then we win. I guess the big topic here, and it was a big topic at your last chapter meeting, was a gentleman by the name of Ron Ross, and he came up with some ideas on security. And Alex, maybe you could, or John, you want to frame this discussion. And who is this guy, Ron Ross, and what the heck is he doing at your organization's meeting, you know?
Exactly. So Ron is really a rock star. I mean, if you're at the meeting, Ron Ross is the kind of guy where he's passionate about what he talks about. And had he jumped off the stage into the crowd, they probably would have caught him in their hands and passed him around while he was still talking about security. I think there were some people in the front with lighters going.
You get a T-shirt, Ron Ross, rock star.
Exactly. I mean, he's amazing. He's passionate. He loves security. And I dabble a lot in auditing. I've had a lot of operational work. But it's really interesting to be on the other side of the table and do auditing. And he's the guy that writes essentially what the audit guidelines, what the government has to meet for security baselines. And he wrote something called NIST 853. It was a requirement of FISMA of what baselines had to be put out there, what security baselines that a lot of the government organizations had to meet. And he did a major update a couple months ago, and he was here to talk about it, and we had a huge turnout.
Ron Ross, Dr. Ron Ross, of course, works at NIST, and what's fascinating about him is he does not lock himself up in some ivory tower with guard dogs and who knows what, a moat. He's out there. He walks into a room and goes, "Hi, I'm Ron. How are you going? What about them Redskins? And tell me about your concerns." He does really have all kinds of feedback. Would you agree, Alex?
Absolutely. He's just an absolutely wonderful human being. It's amazing as we we're...
Well, I'll have to ask his wife about that. Okay. In the professional capacity.
Good point. I only know it's public facing. But there's so many people throughout the industry, and the information security industry here in the D.C. area, metropolitan D.C. area here, is relatively small, it's surprisingly. And a lot of people have an opportunity to talk with each other from across different industries or across different either commercial or federal. And so many people know Ron and have worked with him, and he is just very much giving towards the profession and giving towards the industry. It's just it's flattering that he would take time to talk with so many different people and have that many people know him. It's just absolutely wonderful.
Well, if you look at this problem from a 10, 15-year perspective, you see what's happened is FISMA came out, and the early, from what my understanding is kind of the early implementation of FISMA was more or less getting an inventory of what you have, trying to see what connects to what, and these were challenges in and of themselves. And now there's been a transition. I think 800-353 is responding to a transition. And actually, the transition was only enabled once those first kind of incipient steps were taking place, weren't they?
Exactly. And in fact, 853 was originally intended as here's kind of a baseline, and a lot of government organizations would say, let's just meet 853. We're not sure what's in it. Ron Ross wrote it. He's great. Just do what's in it. Rev 4 is the major update, which now looks at it and says, you know, there was a time where you would just do it all, but now instead of a checklist, it's now of a catalog. Now an organization just can't hand you 853. They say, take a look at it, pick the stuff you want, decide what's important. And his now big mantra, he has two big mantras. One is build it right, and you see a lot of discussion around how developers should do work. And the other one is not around building it right, but customize your security baseline and customize what you're trying to do, and use 853 as a catalog to help you pick and choose what you think you need.
Okay. Let's bounce back to the group here, the ISSA Nova. So Ron took time from his schedule, got in his car, drove down, and met. How many people were there, and what kind of people attend these events? Couple hundred, couple dozen people, how many people attend?
Sure. For the meeting, we were at MITRE, which is one of our host locations. We had about 250 people. Most of the people were chapter members, and our chapter is about 500 members large of pure security practitioners. There are organizations not driven by necessarily a certification or in some other type of driver. It's really just practitioners that want to come to exchange ideas, to network. They want to be able to find out what's going on in the industry. But he had an absolutely packed room. Unfortunately, it was in the evening. It got a little bit warm, so some of the people were a little bit afraid by the end because it's summertime. But a packed room. Everybody stayed till the end, even with the heat. They were just really be able to listen to everything that he said and really be able to take that back into their day jobs.
And I have three grown kids, and I try to tell them, well, you know, the internet's great, and books are great, and blogs are great, but you know, sometimes you look at someone face to face, you go up to Alex and grab and go, well, read this encryption. What's this encryption mean to me? And you can communicate more, I think, in a face to face in 30 seconds at a meeting like that, John. Than I've read books on security, and I've been just dazzled.
and we've had some amazing speakers. I mean, clearly, Ron Ross was an amazing speaker, very personable. We had a guy that's the chief scientist of information security at Bank of America. We had him up there talking about what it takes to be innovative and how to innovate in information security. When he's done, a mob of people go up. You know, maybe they're asking for his autograph, but they're asking him, hey, this is what I'm seeing. What would you do? And these guys come and they like to talk to people. Chris Porter, a guy at Verizon that put the Verizon breach report together. He got him and said, this is how we built it. This is what we looked at. This is what worked, what didn't work. And again, a lot of experience in the crowd, a lot of questions being asked, and again, it's a very dynamic, interesting conversations that go on.
I work with software developers, and I talk about scope and scope creep and trying to limit scope and everything else. And if you look at what NIST 853 handles, it is almost a 500-page document. It talks about supply chains, web apps, smartphone vulnerabilities, cloud, insider threats, privacy. I mean, that's 500 pages for each one of those. Let's do 500 pages on web apps, okay?
Yes, that's absolutely right. And I mean, there's a lot of worry about that. Before, it used to be much smaller and people could do it. Now it's just come into, and that's why there was such a big crowd. They wanted to say, Ron, all right, you know what? We understood it then. We understood when it was, smaller, being, 200-300 pages. What have you added? What makes these changes so special? And, throwing out words like privacy, engineering, software engineering, that sort of thing, was really where he's jumped into, along with hitting all the buzz phrase. Someone once said that 853 Rev4 is now buzzword compliant. It's got everything in there you'd need. And if you got management that's looking for it, you just search, it'll be in there somewhere.
Yeah, when I read it and read some of the people reviewed it, it looks like it's in my world to talk about stakeholders and bringing them into the party or into the scrum. And so this really is integrating any one of the stakeholders in this project. I think that's what the takeaway is, not technical. The takeaway is maybe social or administrative, isn't it? It's get everyone together.
Yes, and again, that's a big push. You got to start building it and customizing it and having a plan. I think you wanted to get away from the checklist again. From the world of auditing in some ways is easy if you just go in with the checklist and don't understand what you're talking about. And he's really trying to get away from that and say, understand what you've got, understand your security, and build your security controls then. And 853 Rev4 will help you, give you options, as opposed to just being a checklist anymore.
One option we have is to make a break and have some commercial messages. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Alex Grohman, Senior Manager at Morgan Franklin, and John Dyson, Manager at Deloitte. We're talking about ISSA Nova and security. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Alex Grohman, Senior Manager at Morgan Franklin, and John Dyson, Manager at Deloitte. And they're a member of a local chapter of a group called ISSA Nova, and we're talking in general about security, and we're promoting your little group so people can find out. And if they have security questions, well, you can get information online, blogs and tweets, and read stuff. And it's always nice, I think, to just go face-to-face and sit and ask someone. Yesterday, I was at the Brookings Institute. I sat down with a guy named, Costolo, Dick Costolo, who's the CEO of Twitter. And I was asking questions about security. And tell you what, security is hot in his mind. His lawyers got him all prepped up about shutting up about security and mobile and what's going on there. And Twitter was the one that didn't cave to the federal government, by the way. Everyone else seemed to cave, but Twitter didn't. So it got me some insight on this. And I thought maybe we'd talk about handheld devices and smartphones and maybe privacy, privacy from a federal perspective and privacy from a personal perspective. And Alex, I'll toss to you here and ask about privacy in the federal government. And I guess when I use my wireless at home, I have some degree of concerns about privacy, not a whole lot. I imagine it's way different than the federal government. What kind of guidelines can you give our listeners for security and maybe how this new NIST specification is going to impact that?
Sure. The new NIST specification has a whole new set of family for controls for just about privacy. Now, privacy is obviously a big buzzword in the industry right now because it seems to be going out the door in terms of some of the different things that you find out some of the other agencies in the government are doing right now. But people really haven't really understood the full impact of what privacy is going to be doing and how it's going to impact their future. If you're potential, your personal identifiable information is widely available to everybody. How are you going to be able to really understand how do you differentiate yourself from anybody else? So the impacts of privacy on our future is really where it's going to be at. People really don't understand what the implications are right now, especially when you're thinking about some of the next generation where they really have no concern about what their information is. They're readily giving it out there. You put a web form on a web page, they'll give you everything you want, social security number, date of birth out there. And this is in addition to the readily available information that are out there through the various social media sites. Pretty much it's so much out there, but people don't understand the ramification of what it's going to be like in a couple of years down the road when there is no information about you that's actually left private.
And so, John, let me ask about this new initiative from the White House. They're talking about releasing data and liberating data and taking data sets and releasing them to the public so people can start businesses like geographic location businesses, like weather satellite businesses. And now I see it a lot in the healthcare area there. There are going to be some challenges there. Does this NIST specification do anything to that with filtering information or what information can be released, or is it address different issues completely?
All right. So those kind of conversations just make security people cry. I mean, they cringe. And I mean, the other side is
here's
great.
Some Kleenex.
Yeah, that's exactly. Excuse me for a minute. Yeah, there's a lot of concerns about it. The security people want to jump and say no, don't. Just keep it sealed in a safe somewhere, and it'll be okay. So it really is a balancing act. How much of that do you give away, and what controls do you put on it? And really, a lot of this is area that no one's really gone into. How much is too much? What kind of security controls are in place? In the past, a lot of the answer has always just been encrypt it, and that'll at least save you some plan, encrypt it at rest, encrypt it in route, and that will at least help you in some ways. But releasing a lot of this data is it's going to be a big challenge to a lot of security people. And it's going to come down to business cases. How important is it? What's the risks? And that's what security people should be jumping down. Here's the risk, but really it's a business case that has to be made to allow this to happen. And NIST is starting to play into that area a little bit. Again, they're getting away from the checklist, and they're starting to call out controls saying essentially that. Understand why you're doing it. What is your business case for this? Documenting this. Auditors are going to come in. It's not for an auditor to say, this was a bad idea, you shouldn't have done this. It's for an auditor to say, have you documented that you have given proper consideration, the right people thought about it, they understood what they were doing before they did it? And again, that's how NIST is trying to help encourage that the process of getting that data out.
You folks are a member of a local group here called ISSA NOVA. If you want more information, you can go to novanova.issa.org. Seemed to me that might be a topic for a chapter meeting. I'm going to put that in. President Alex, put that a topic for a meeting for next year sometime. It seems like it's going to be asked by everyone.
Yeah, we cover a wide range of different topics through the organization. We've already covered in the last 24 months, we've covered topics of privacy. We've obviously had Ron Ross just coming in there. That's the second time he's spoken in the last 2 years. We have someone coming in from Good, one of their engineers, talking in September about mobile technology. Luckily, we're blessed, being in this geographical area, to have such a wide range of professional speakers come in and talk about the various topics that are impacting everybody here in the Beltway, either federal or commercial. I could go through the list of all the different speakers that we've had, but we've just been really blessed. This is a lot different than us being stuck in Idaho or somewhere where they may not have this many
people. Be careful, be careful. I love Idaho.
But we had one organization just a few months ago. You mentioned FedRAMP is a big push of late. We had the head of the PMO from FedRAMP, a guy by the name of Matt Goodrich, up on a stage with a panel. Sitting next to him was a representative from Autonomic, which was the first cloud provider that actually got their cloud certified by FedRAMP. And then next to them was a company called Verus, who is a 3PAO that actually did the actual assessment for Autonomic on behalf of FedRAMP. And the three of them were up there, and basically it was, gee, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? What worked? What didn't work? I mean, at some point you almost wanted to, you know, give them things to throw at each other. But I mean, these guys really understood, fantastic speakers on, if you ever need to do this, here's the pros, here's the cons. And we actually had the FedRAMP guy up there saying, this worked great, maybe this didn't, and maybe we got to change this. And it was a discussion. We had a big crowd of people saying, you know, we care about cloud. Cloud's important. What is it going to take? What does FedRAMP really mean? And we had a guy up there that essentially runs it, that, you know, answered all the questions. He was mobbed afterwards. He had a crowd of people, you know, basically with their own notebooks of questions to ask him.
Yeah. The ISSA, by the way, if you go to their website, they're in 100 countries. They have 10,000 members, and they have a web conference coming up, and I was intrigued by this title, is Who Else Is On Your Device? I mean, even if I didn't work for the federal government or I was just an outsider working for a company, I may want to go to that webinar just to see, okay, really, I mean, what's going on with this you know, handheld security? You know,
it's, yeah, that's right. Handheld security, privacy. Again, a lot of these topics that are very relevant, and especially in this area, that a lot of people are interested in. What is it going to take? What's the buzz on it, you know, going on right now? And ISSA gets a lot of amazing speakers to get up there and talk about it and say what the concerns are, what the plans, what the directions are.
I referenced President Alex before. You're the president of the local group here, aren't you?
I usually run unopposed, so let's not be too impressed here. We're all just volunteers.
Don't say that. We'll have to have that edited. We'll have to have that taken out in the replay here, you know? By unanimous, by a hard fought one.
Well, luckily, we're all volunteers for the industry. We have some people out there that volunteer on our board that are just absolutely incredible. But yes, we do cover quite a few different things out there. And one thing I like to say, in following up to John's idea here, is, you know, the organization is since we're all volunteers and people are all not driven by a reason to come other than to be able to network, to be able to understand new technologies. We're always providing speakers that are vendor agnostic. So there, we have a vendor coming up or a speaker coming up there that's, you know, not associated pitching anything or having anybody out there. The people are able to approach that person and say, hey, look, I got real concerns about this, or I got a question about this. And it provides that mechanism to really have a free flow and really true and an honest conversation with these people, with practitioners and the speakers that are just really genuine and something I don't always necessarily see. I'm a member of several different professional organizations, and a lot of times the direction are a little slightly different than what we're trying to do with ISSA. And I think that kind of makes us a little bit more different for one reason or another.
Well, I think it's a shared experience, shared background. You know, my wife teaches high school kids. I'm sure when she's with me and my friends, she operates one way. But if she's in a room of other high school teachers, all of a sudden, oh, yeah, you got the – the phone's in the – how do you do that? And all of a sudden, she lets her hair down, I guess, theoretically. And the same thing here with this group of people is that these are shared experiences, that Alex is not up there twisting any arms. Hey, you should buy Alex software, and we're the best, and we're better than everyone else. And John's not going to say, this organization's got all the answers in the whole world. It's kind of a free flow, which is it's hard in this. And by the way, I've done a lot of events in this town. I go to events all the time. And in the last 2 years, they seem to be constricting. And a lot of people in the public relations have told me that, you know, John, it's hard to get 30 people in a room these days. Hard to get 50 people in a room these days. It's difficult because, you know, budgets being squeezed. The fact that you can get that many people is really remarkable. Let's take a break. We get back. Let's maybe look at some specific agencies and how they've implemented some policies to move away from a checkbox type of security to continuous monitoring and see what kind of experiences they've had. You listen to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Alex Grohman, Senior Manager at Morgan Franklin, and John Dyson, Manager at Deloitte, representing ISSA Nova. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Alex Grohman, Senior Manager at Morgan Franklin, and John Dyson, Manager at Deloitte. But we're not going to talk about Morgan Franklin, not talking about Deloitte. We're talking about security and this chapter they're involved in of a group called ISSA Nova. And if you want more information, you can go to Nova, NOVA.ISSA.org, and find out about events. You can go to the main site and find out about all kinds of web conferences that sound kind of fascinating, interesting. You know, many of my listeners get information from podcasts. Some actually read books and some read blogs. John, is there a blog that you write or maybe one you can recommend for my listeners to get more information about security?
I'm not the blog writer. I am a blog reader. I'm a big fan of Bruce Schneier. Some of the, anyone that's actually puts out encryption algorithms regularly has quite a following. Some really
Schneider. Bruce Schneider.
Bruce Schneier. Yes. Okay. Again, that was one of my favorites.
I follow Brian Krebs and I read several different periodicals in addition to books, but there's so much information out there. You're almost more limited about where your inputs are going to be. It's a wonderful place to be, but it's also a not so wonderful place to be.
Krebs. My listeners are going to be Googling this, and they'll have to repeat and spell it out for them because Brian wrote for Washington Post for a while. I was a big fan of his there.
Wonderful.
And they came in with a knife and they cut out all the talent. It's like, well, why? Rob Picoraro gone. Brian actually has a pretty good model, and his website is finally gone. Maybe he's eating more than once a day now, and he's doing real well. And I think he is. There are a lot of people in the security community who say, "Yep, this Brian guy, he knows what he's talking about." And his website seems to work, and his blog is finally being profitable. Yeah. Which thank God, thank you. I mean, finally, it's someone with talent who can share information and write English that humans can read. If you haven't discovered Brian Krebs, maybe this is the one bit of information from this interview you take away is Brian Krebs is smart and you should go to his blog,
He's another guy that if he jumped off a stage, a whole crowd of security people would catch him and pass him around also. Again, another rock star in the industry. I mean, a lot of people reference his stuff. He's a go-to guy for a lot of new, especially things in the cybercrime area.
It's amazing what he has access to. My previous employer was a financial services firm, and some of the things that Brian was able to write about being in that space with financial services and some of the items that were being detected by him. It's just amazing to find out where he's getting some of that information and what kind of circles that he's been able to gain access. I'm very interested, and that's why I always keep an eye on his blog.
Great. Let's shift from Brian's blog to agencies. And so there are agencies out there, 135 agencies. Some of them are up to speed. Some of them the Inspector General beats his head against the wall on for different agencies. John, can you give me an example of maybe an agency you work with that has a pretty good idea of what the security is all about and they're implementing the things from NIST correctly, and maybe they could sit on top of the hill and people can look up to them?
Sure. Well, the easy one to throw out there is Centers for Medicaid and, for Medicare and Medicaid. It's CMS. With the whole Affordable Health Care Act and a lot of visibility on medical data and PHI data, they know they're in the spotlight. And they have really pushed to make security such an important piece. And they've done some fantastic work around NIST 853. They've got people that know this document inside and out. And they have a lot of data centers all around the country, and they just enforce it on them. This has to be done. They have auditors out there regularly to take a look at their stuff. So they're ones that have really adopted. They really understand the value of it. They've gone as far as they do a lot of application penetration testings. They do a lot of anything that they could see that would help them out because they know there's such a spotlight on them. I guess that's an upside of having a spotlight on. There's a lot of organizations that don't, and as a result, don't need to.
And an outsider can listen to this interview and go, well, it's just a few medical records I have to worry about. Well, if you realize, for example, just take one little database, you know, the PQRS, that has 500 billion records. And by the way, Alex, are you about to run out of the studio now screaming? Yeah, make sure the security for 500 billion records is up to snuff. I mean, that's a nightmare for me and just trying to get my arms around that. But you're saying that not only do they get their arms around it, but they're accomplishing all the tasks.
They're fanatical about it. I mean, it's because they understand the importance of what they got. And, you know, that's where it first starts, knowing what's important and understanding that it's important. And then you can finally start putting those controls around it.
Well, Alex, because you're a president, I'm going to ask you a presidential question, a view from 40,000 feet, maybe. When I look at agencies, I look at the CIA, and they just had a press release. They announced their relationship with Amazon. Well, that's good. They're working with Amazon. That's great. If you look at the group that's in the news all the time now, the NSA, they seem to be making a switch to a different implementation of a cloud called OpenStack. And I'm just wondering about the general philosophies and changes. I mean, if it's OpenStack, if it's AWS, if it's ABC, as long as it complies with NIST specifications, then it's fine, or are there best practices in this general area that you see?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think most federal agencies are really challenged right now with decreasing budgets and limited resources. And with security being such a hot topic, some of the talent pool are kind of moving frequently between either federal agencies and private companies. There's a lot of challenges for the administrators of those people who have to handle such of these different things. So the fact that the NSA and some of these other intel communities are even having a conversation and looking at some of these things, I think is phenomenal. They're not being closed-minded saying, okay, we've got all the answers. We're going to handle everything internally. They're smart enough to say, let's go find out what private industry has to say about this. Let's have some conversations about what they're thinking and how they can bring us to a point where we feel comfortable about this. Information security is such a broad topic, and there's so many different vulnerabilities now that the opportunity to get ahead of those things really needs to be looked at from many different ways. And I really applaud these different agencies that are looking at different ways of doing things by bringing it to private industry.
John, if you were at a barbecue at my house and someone turned to you and said, oh, you're working security, I heard this phrase, continuous monitoring. What does that mean? What does that mean to Joe Sixpack in the street and then deep dive for our PhDs who are listening? Right. So in 10 seconds, by the way.
Okay. Well, you're right. It's a new buzz phrase. And essentially, it's the previous model had been every 3 years we'll come in and take a look at your application. Well, you know, a lot of things can happen in 3 years between the auditors coming up and taking a look at stuff. So the goal now has been start taking a look at stuff regularly. Understand what your environment's looking like all the time. Understand what the changes are. So it's not, look at it every minute of every day. It's not constant monitoring. It's continuous monitoring. Have an understanding of looking at your logs, understand what's going on in your network, and don't just walk away and just come back every 3 years and take a quick look at it. And also to Alex's point on the government taking a look at private industry. Again, government's been trying to do a lot of talking with private industry, and it hasn't been going well. So this is kind of one of their steps in understanding what does private industry do? Well, private industry monitors a lot. I mean, they want to know what's going on, both because they have revenue tied to it and because they're concerned about other customers' data because that's a loss of revenue for them. So
If you do read blogs, you can read my blog. You just go to Google, type in John Gilroy blog, and I'll be blogging about this with photos of these two gentlemen in the studio. So you can go, geez, that Alex is a big guy, huh? People are always amazed when you connect the picture with someone who's on the radio. Alex, got to ask about terminology here. And, you know, for the longest time, I learned about something called CNA. And, oh, pardon me? And they'd say it so fast, they go, CNA, ABC, no, CNA. Well, oh, certification and accreditation. Too many syllables for that. So finally, you know, I get my little brain wrapped around certification and accreditation, and they go, whoop, no, it's CNA. What? CNA. It's assessing and authorizing. What's the difference between these two, and is this a transition? Is this just a two words describing the same process, or what do these words mean?
Well, in certification, accreditation, and SANA, it's a whole framework that you're looking at. And people actually, this is what they do for their day job in and out. And the people who work with it, and the reason why they say it so fast is because it just rolls off their tongue. They're dealing with this. They're living, breathing it. You know, after we had Ron Ross speak last month, we had some people come over from one of the 3PAL organizations. And they were saying, oh, yes, we've mapped this. You know, we've mapped these FSMA requirements to this and this and this. They live and breathe these different items, okay? So when you're looking at these different things, the SNA, CNNA, these are the things that they live and breathe with during the day to really be able to work with the federal government. These are the bread and butter items that you have to. Now, to be able to go in details about all the different families, methodologies, and all the phrases of SNA, John, you're going to have to invite us back one more time because yeah, that's a whole
really
can
is.
Of worms.
I mean, just, if you take the word certification and just, okay, no, is it product certification? Is it individual certification or accreditation? Is it, who manages the standards? Who sets the standards? Does NIST set the standards? What about it? I mean, it's complex in the commercial world.
Incredibly complex.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about some social media ways to learn about security and give you gentlemen a test to see if you're really a card-carrying nerd or not. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio is Alex Grohman, Senior Manager at Morgan Franklin, and John Dyson, Manager at Deloitte. We're talking about security and a chapter of ISSA called ISSA Nova. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Alex Grohman, Senior Manager at Morgan Franklin, John Dyson, Manager at Deloitte, and they're talking about security. They're both in a local group called ISSA Nova, and ISSA Nova has chapter meetings. They talk a lot of security topics, and if you want to visit Nova, N-O-V as in victory, N-O-V-A dot I-S-S-A dot org. Get all kinds of information about where they're going to meet next. And this time of year, people look at the fall and say, oh, geez, what's coming up in the fall? Maybe I'll mark this in my calendar or that in my calendar. And people may be listening to this interview when there's snow on the ground. And the last block, Alex, you said something real quick, and I'm sure it's tripping in your tongue. It's like, oh, a 5/16 wrench. Oh, yeah. 10, you know, and the mechanic would say that. And you spit out something called a 3PAO. Perhaps you could tell the listeners what that is all about.
Sure. The 3PAO is an effort for the federal agencies to move to the cloud and have certifications around that, so that the federal agencies, if they do move to the cloud, they have certain agencies or certain organizations that can come out there, look at the different types of security controls for that cloud and have it certified, so that when they move their data, it's already been certified by one of these different agencies. It's a huge effort with the federal agencies moving towards using a cloud computing infrastructure. Cloud computing is something that's been around for a little while, but it's catching wind now with a lot of different buzzwords. But it is a major effort, and there are a lot of security controls with that. But the 3PAO is one of those efforts to be able to make sure that there are certain controls around there and they're measured.
Good. That's a good definition. Many of my listeners read blogs. Some are involved in Twitter. I was at a Twitter event just yesterday, I mentioned earlier. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray. Do you folks have Twitter handles, or does your group?
Yes. I personally have a Twitter account. It's at Alex Grohman, and our chapter also has a Twitter account that's much, much more active, which is...
at ISSA underscore N-O-V-A. And you can follow them there. And they're pretty active, and they have a lot of stuff that's going on there. You know, I give this 10-question test to all of my guests because people are listening going, you know, I don't know, man. Is that guy really a nerd? Or no, he's not. He's a nerd wannabe or something. And so I give him 10-question test to find out what people are actually thinking. And I'm going to start with you, John. First question, when did you get your first PC?
That would have been a Commodore 64. Loved that machine, and that was probably... in the 80s
that
sometime.
That was bragging rights early.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. Boy, I didn't have that 20K anymore memory. I had 64.
Yeah, and cell phone. When did you get your first cell phone?
Much later.
That's not very specific. You lose points on that one. I don't remember. You're not much of a nerd.
I would say 10 years ago, 8 years ago.
Do you have a personal Twitter feed?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No,
you have
your
personal blog?
I'm sliding. No, I don't even have a blog.
You're sinking quick here. Do you use any personal online backup services?
No, I don't.
Do you have a personal blog?
No, I don't.
Are you sure you're a technology guy?
That's right.
I don't know about you anymore.
He's a security guy.
Do you have a cell phone? One of those things people carry around. What kind of smartphone do you have?
Oh, I have an iPhone.
Oh, okay. And how many apps on that?
Oh, my goodness. Called a dozen.
A dozen,
easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I used to ask if you have a tablet device. How many tablet devices are in your home?
I'll probably only say two. I'll say a Kindle and an iPad.
Okay. And what social networking sites are you active in?
Probably just LinkedIn. I tend to stay away from the others.
Okay. And last book you read, was it paper or electronic?
Oh, I'm actually going to say it was paper. I'm a big paper
you're
fan.
You're pretty weak. We're going to have to show you the door here.
I'm sorry.
Now,
thank
Alex,
you very much.
If you can't
much.
Whoop them on this, Alex, we'll send you both out the door. With Alex, when did you get your first PC? What year?
It was my first semester in Masters of Information Systems when I bought my first PC because I didn't use one until then. So it was a 486 DX66.
Ooh, a DX. I know what that means. It must be a 3D6 SX or DX. Is the DX or the math coprocessor?
It was a DX, yes.
I'm guessing probably late 90s then.
I think it was 90... 98.
your first cell phone?
97.
Ooh, yeah. Do you have your own Twitter feed?
Yes.
Do you have a personal blog?
Yes.
Ooh, John here is trying to cry over there.
I'll carry his books for him.
And do you have an online personal backup?
No.
No, okay. And what kind of I'm not going to ask the question. What kind of smartphone do you have?
Not only do I have an iPhone, I have an iPhone 5.
Whoa, that's some bragging rights there. Mm-hmm. How many apps on that?
I'd say 13 since John has 12.
Oh, no competition here.
I've got a U.S. Robotics Palm Pilot. I think I'll be bringing it out next time.
You had your chance. And how many tablet devices in your home?
Three.
Yeah. We have some with a lot of dust on them, but we have about that many. And what active social networking sites are you in?
LinkedIn, even though I do have a Facebook account, which I'm LinkedIn or friend with people just for identity theft reasons. I want to make sure I have my ID out there. And
you
want to
make sure yours gets stolen.
I haven't logged into that thing in probably 6 months, but it's out there. And security people
and
get a little
nervous.
Here's
the differentiator. Last book you read, what was electronic or paper?
Electronic.
Well, I'm afraid that the hat's going to go to Alex here, so we have to take and come up with our theoretical hat here on card-carrying nerd. I don't know if that's something to brag about or not, but it's something there. Interesting how these questions have changed over the years where, you know, I start asking these, but there's no tablets, and all of a sudden now I got to ask. I used to ask if about the cell phone that's changed. People look at security, and they see all kinds of problems out there, and I don't see problems. I see a lot of success stories, and I think Ron Ross is a success story here. I think a lot worse things could have happened. So, John, where's health going to be heading in the next few years? I mean, there's so many mobile devices out there. I mean, you know, I was in the Micro Center store last week. I went to the desktop section, and it was empty. I could have set up a volleyball net or something. There's no one in the desktop. Everyone's into mobile. And what's going to happen with mobile? What's going to happen with security in the federal government here in the next few years? What do you think is going to happen in general?
I've been with organizations that their direction of late has been they're going to save money and have people bring in their laptops from home. Bring in your 16-year-old daughter's laptop, plug in and do the work there, and they will put all the security back on the network side and the infrastructure side. I don't know if that's going to catch on, but if you wanted to save money, if you don't have to give your organization laptops, it's a huge
BYOL,
money saver.
Bring your own laptop?
Exactly. again, is that really the trend? Maybe not, but it's a really interesting angle to look forward to. It's a business decision to make, and you understand why they went that route. But for the most part, I don't think that the way it's going to go. I think we're going to start seeing a lot more of a trend toward, I hate to say it, but VT100 terminals type of technology. Maybe we don't. We start giving people, virtual
Now, people
instances.
Under 30 aren't going to know what that means. Let's talk about a VT.
That's right. No, get back to, we'll say, the dumb terminal. We'll go from smart phones to dumb terminals.
They're not going
to
know what that is either.
Yeah, that's right. My goodness. A virtual instance of a desktop, perhaps. That's how it would be implemented. Something along those lines where if security really catches on a lot more and there's a big – if we start seeing a lot more security breaches and it really starts getting bad, I think that's where we're going to start seeing trends towards.
So, Alex, back to the future here?
Mm-hmm.
You agree, huh? What do you think is going to happen with the federal security mandates here in the next few years?
Well, with everything moving to the cloud, and I really do believe that there is going to be that effort to be able to bring BYOD, which is bring your own device or bring your own laptop. It is a natural progression. You know, more things are being done through applications on the smartphone, just called apps, everything done through a web browser. So really, the old idea of having a PC really kind of going by the wayside. There's a lot of different articles out there in the industry who are saying PCs are going to die. I think the federal government's going to be looking towards that to be able to keep up with the trend, be able to keep up what's happening and moving towards something like cloud-based and a handheld device. You never know. In a couple of years, maybe there's even less than a handheld device. Maybe we're looking at something we haven't even been able to even conceptualize at this point in time.
You know, John, my company deals actually with some larger organizations, and I'm just wondering, from the perspective of a Fortune 100 company, what do you think of Ron Ross? Is he a leader? Is he a follower? Is he just out in the island there? He just deal with gubbies? Or some of the things that Ron is coming up with and some of these regulations, is this really cutting edge, or is this just only applied to the federal government?
Actually, not only would I say I think he's a leader in the field, I think the latest version of NIST 853 Rev 4 really has the potential to break out of the government mold. It's now a catalog where private organizations could start looking at it and say, hey, maybe this is something, maybe ISO isn't the way to go. ISO, it's sort of caught on, but maybe this latest version of 853 could start overtaking the baselines in industry. You start seeing private industry adopt it. I think with that release of what the new stuff he's put in, I think there's a really good potential of that happening.
Is it going to behave a rough five in the next 2 years, Alex, or what's the general community seems to think?
That's a good question. I think it would obviously have to be improvements. And I like to go circle back to some of the couple of things out there. You know, when we say Ron wrote this, you know, I've had an opportunity to meet some of the people from NIST, and it's actually a whole team of people, and not to correct John, yeah, or not to correct myself, but the people at NIST are wonderful. And what I'd really like to say is it's, you know, if they're head or their followers or whatever, they're providing solutions. A lot of people in the security industry, it's easy to be able to poke holes in things because there's so many different avenues for a vulnerability and out that. But what Ron Ross and his team are doing are really providing a way of saying, hey, let's figure out a way to have a game plan. Let's come up with a methodology of how we're going to be able to attack these things. So what the people over at NIST are doing, I think, are wonderful. I think I'm looking forward to whenever they do have Rev 5. I know Ron is, you know, there's new people that are going to have to come and, you know, backfill for Ron as eventually when he starts to, you know, saying, hey, it's late in the eighth inning. I need someone else to come in here and, you know, pitch an arm. Hopefully those people are coming up through the ranks, coming up through industry, coming up through our educational system that are going to be the ones that are going to be taking over and saying, you know what, I'm going to contribute heavily to R5.
And I think that's good. Positive. Rather, anyone can whine and complain and point out weaknesses, but I think it takes someone else to say, no, here's some solutions that we proffer, and maybe this would solve some of the problems. And a good way to end the show on a positive note. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today is Alex Grohman, Senior Manager at Morgan Franklin, and John Dyson, manager at Deloitte, and they're representing a local chapter of ISSA called ISSA Nova.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.